Good morning, boys.
Do you have any prayer requests?
Brian Mullen, Jason, Brian and Erica, and the people in God and all that.
Yes, good. Fire. Yes, good. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for this beautiful morning. Thank you for the springtime and the birds chirping outside and making their nests and beauty of another summertime. Thank you, Lord, for the church too and the beauty and the joy of a fresh new day, and help us, Lord, to be faithful to you and serve you, Lord, in sincerity and in truth. Just bless these boys here. Help them, Lord. Help give them good examples, Lord. Help us all to do our part. Bless us today. Bless Brother David too with the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, open your Bibles to Psalm 49. The God of gods, the Lord, spoke and summoned the earth from the sun's rising to its very setting. From Zion in beauty's splendor, God will come openly. There, think about God when he comes in the end of time, coming out of heaven, coming out of Zion in beauty's splendor. He'll come openly. He is our God, and he shall not be silent. A fire shall be kindled before him, and there shall be a mighty storm round about him. That sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? He shall summon heaven above and the earth to judge his people. You think on the judgment day that some of the people we knew and worked with will be around to talk? He shall summon heaven above and the earth to judge his people. The earth will be, everyone will be standing around whenever we're being judged. Everyone. So, now, gather his holy ones to him who establish his covenant upon sacrifices, and the heavens declare his righteousness, for God is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak to you. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not find fault with your sacrifices, because your whole burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept the young bull from your house, nor he-goats from your flocks, for all the wild animals of the forest are mine, the cattle and the oxen in the hills. I know all the birds of heaven, and the ripe fruit of the field is with me. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of praise and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of affliction, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. To the sinner, God says, why do you declare my ordinances and take up my covenant in your mouth? So these are people that go to church. The next few verses, clear to the end of the chapter, is going to be talking about. Okay, to the sinner, God says. But they're talking about God's ordinances or God's laws and teachings, so they sound like really nice, good people, right? Okay. But let's keep reading about some other things they do, even though they're talking so good about God's ordinances and His covenants. Talking all about covenants, you know, and just sounding really righteous. Okay. You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you run with him and you keep company with adulterers. Your mouth is filled with evil and your tongue weaves deceits. You sit and speak against your brother and place a stumbling block before your mother's son. You do these things and I keep silent. You think I am lawless like you. But I shall rebuke you and contradict you to your face. Understand these things, you who forget God, lest He snatch you away and there be none to be leavened. A sacrifice of praise shall glorify me, and there is the way whereby I will show Him the salvation of God. What do you think? That's really something to think about, isn't it? To the sinner, God says, why do you talk all about my teachings and my covenants and all that? And then you just speak against each other, you deceive other people, your tongue weaves all kinds of slanderous deception, and you speak against your brother and do all these things, and just there is coming a day. And that's that there reminds me of a story, Rebellion in the Hive. I've been thinking about it for several weeks. I think I'd like to read it to you. But in this story, it talks about causing a stumbling block and a problem and a confusion and deception and just mixing everything up. Like these sinners here that are always talking about God's ordinances and His covenants, and yet casting His words behind them by the way they live and the way they talk. And it says there, you who forget God. We forget God whenever we would cause rebellion and deception and speak against people for no reason. So let's read this story. I remembered it from when I was in fifth grade. And it's just got some pretty interesting things in it here. So, okay. Rebellion in the Hive, part one. On one lovely summer morning, a young bee, we shall call her a traveler bee, left her hive to gather nectar. The sun shone so brightly and the air felt so warm that she flew a long distance till she came to some gardens that were bright with colorful flowers. There she roamed about, in and out of the flowers, buzzing in great delight, till she had so loaded herself with treasure that she could carry no more, and she thought of returning home. But just as she was beginning her journey, she accidentally flew through the open window of a country house and found herself in a large dining room. There was a great deal of noise, for it was dinner time, and the guests were talking rather loudly. As the bee was tasting some rich sweets in a dish on the table, she heard a child exclaim with a shout, "Oh, there's a bee! Let me catch it!" At this, she rushed back, as she thought, to the open air. But alas, in another second, the poor thing found that she had flung herself against a hard, transparent wall. She had flown against one of the glass panes of the window, being quite unable, in her alarm and confusion, to distinguish the glass from the opening by which she had entered. This unexpected blow annoyed her much. Having wearied herself in vain attempts to find the entrance, she began to walk slowly up and down the wooden frame at the bottom of the panes, hoping to recover both her strength and her composure. Presently, her attention was attracted by the soft, half-whispering voices of two children who were kneeling down and looking at her. "This is a worker bee," said one. "I see the pollen bags under its thighs. How busy it has been. Yes, it's a worker bee. Poor wretch." "Why do you call it a poor wretch?" "Well, Uncle Colin says all people who work for other people and don't just work for themselves are poor wretches." That is just what this bee does. There is the queen bee in the hive who does nothing at all but sit at home, give orders, and lay eggs. and all the bees wait upon her and obey her. Then there are the drones, lazy fellows who lounge all their time away. And there are the worker bees, like this one, who do all the work for everybody. How Uncle Collins would laugh at them if he knew. Does Uncle Collins know about bees? No, I think not. It was the gardener who told me. I heard Uncle Collins say another thing yesterday. He said that kings and queens are not right. Nature never makes one man a king and another a cobbler, but makes them all alike. And so he says kings and queens are very unjust things. Bees have not the sense to know anything about that, observed the girl. Of course not. Only fancy how angry these worker bees would be if they knew what else the gardener told me. What was that? He said that the worker bees are just the same as the queen when they are first born. It is only the food that is given them and the shape of the house they live in that makes the difference. The bee nurses manage that. They give some one sort of food and some another, and they make the rest worker bees. It is just what Uncle Colin says about kings and cobblers. Nature makes them all alike. But look, dinner is over. We must go. Wait till I let the bee out, said the girl, gently taking up the traveler bee in a soft handkerchief. Poor thing, she said, so you might have been a queen if they had given you the right food and put you in the right shaped house. What a shame they didn't. As it is, you must go and drudge all your life long, making honey and wax. Well, get along with you. Return to your labors. Then she fluttered her handkerchief through the open window, and the bee found herself once more floating in the air. It was a fine evening, but the traveler bee did not think so. She felt as if there were a dark, heavy cloud over the sky. Really, the cloud was over her own heart. She had become discontented and ambitious, and she rebelled at having to be a mere worker. At last, she reached her home, the hive that she had left with such a happy heart in the morning. After dashing in angrily, she began to unload the bags under her thighs, and as she did so, she exclaimed, "I am the most wretched of creatures." "What is the matter? What have you done?" cried an old relation who was at work near her. "Have you been eating poisonous flowers, or have you discovered that the mischievous honey moth has laid her eggs in our combs?" "Oh, neither, answered the bee impatiently. "But I have traveled a long way and have heard a great deal about myself that I never knew before, and I know now that we are a set of wretched creatures." "And pray, what wise animal has been teaching you that?" asked the old relation. "I have learned a truth," answered the bee, "and it matters not who taught it to me." "Certainly not, but you should not fancy yourself wretched merely because some foolish creature has told you that you are. You know very well that you were never wretched till you were told you were. I call that very silly, but I shall say no more to you." The old relation then turned herself round to her work, singing very pleasantly all the time. But the traveler bee would not be laughed out of her wretchedness. She collected some of her young companions round her and told them what she had heard in the large dining room of the country house. All were astonished, and most were vexed. The bee was so much pleased at causing such excitement and interest that she became sillier every minute and made a long speech. She declared that there ought to be no such things as queens, and talked of all bees being equal and alike. The angry way she talked would have delighted Uncle Collins himself. When the bee had finished her speech, there was first a silence, then a few buzzes of anger, and then much planning and wishing. Some wished Uncle Collins would come and manage all the beehives in the country, for they were sure he would let all the bees be queens, and then what a jolly time they would have. Just then the old relation popped her head around the corner of the cell she was building. "What would be the fun of being queens?" she asked, "if there were no worker bees to wait on one." But the rebels buzzed very loudly and told her that she was a fool. They said Uncle Collins would take care of that the tyrant queen and the royal children in their nurse cells should wait on them while they lasted. "And when they are finished?" persisted the old relation with a laugh. "Buzz, buzz," was the answer, and the old relation held her tongue. Then another bee suggested that, after all, it would be very awkward for them all to be queens. Who would make the honey and wax and build the honeycombs and nurse the children? Would it not be best, therefore, that there should be no queens whatever, but that they should all be worker bees? But then the tiresome old relation popped her head around the corner again and said she did not quite see how that change would benefit them, for they were they not all worker bees already? At this there was such an indignant buzz that she retreated again to her work. Night at last came on. The labors of the day were over, and sleep and silence reigned in the hive. But with the dawn, troubled thoughts returned. The traveler bee and her companions kept clustering together in little groups to talk over their wrongs and a remedy. Meantime, the rest of the hive were too busy to pay much attention to them, and so their idleness was not detected. At last, a few hot-headed youngsters grew so violent that a noisy quarrel would have broken out, but the traveler bee flew to them and suggested that, as they were grown up now and could not all be turned into queens, they had best sally forth and try the experiment of all being worker bees without any queen whatever. With this idea in view, she easily persuaded them to join her, and a very nice swarm they looked as they emerged into the open air and dispersed about the garden to enjoy the early breeze. But a swarm of bees without a queen to lead them proved to be only a helpless crowd after all. The first thing they attempted was to decide on a home. A garden, of course, said one. A field, said another. There is nothing like a hollow tree, remarked a third. The roof of a good shed is the best protection from wet, thought a fourth. The branch of a tree will give us the most liberty, cried a fifth. I won't give up to anybody, shouted all. I am very angry with you, cried the traveler bee at last. Half the morning is gone already, and here we are, as unsettled as when we left the hive. One would think you were to be queen over us to hear you talk, exclaimed the others. If we choose to spend our time in quarreling, what is that to you? Go and do as you please. She did. She was ashamed and unhappy and flew to the end of the garden to hide her vexation. There, seeing a clump of beautiful jonquils, she dived into a flower to soothe herself by gathering nectar. How she enjoyed it. She loved the flowers and their nectar more than ever and began her accustomed murmur of delight. She had serious thoughts of going back at once to the hive as usual and was just coming out of one of the golden cups when she met the old relation coming out of another. Who would have thought to find you here alone, asked the old relation. Where are your companions? I scarcely know. I left them outside the garden. What are they doing? Quarreling, murmured the traveler bee. What about what they are to do? What a pleasant occupation for bees on a sunshiny morning, said the old relation. Don't laugh at me. Tell me what to do, said the puzzled traveler. What Uncle Colin says about nature and our all being alike sounds very true, and yet somehow we do nothing but quarrel when you try to all be alike and equal. How old are you? Asked the old relation. A few weeks, answered the traveler. And how old am I? Many months, I am afraid. You are right. I am an oldish bee. Well then, friend, let us fight. Not for the world. I am the stronger and would hurt you. I wonder what makes you ask advice of a creature so much weaker than yourself. What has weakness to do with wisdom, my good old relation? I consult you because I know you are wise, and I am humbled and feel that I am foolish. Old and young, strong and weak, wise and foolish. What has become of our being alike and equal? But never mind, we can manage. Now let us agree to live together. With all my heart, but where shall we live? Tell me first, which of us is to decide if we differ? You shall, you are wise. Good, and who shall collect honey for food? I will, I am strong. Very well, you have made me a queen and yourself a worker bee. Ah, my foolish friend, won't the old home and the old queen do? Don't you see that if even no more than two people live together, there must be a head to lead and hands to follow? How much more in the case of a multitude? Glad was the song of the traveler bee as she wheeled over the flowers, joyously agreeing with what she had heard. I will find my companions, she cried at last, and the two flew away together and sought the knot of discontented youngsters outside the garden wall. They were still quarreling, but with little energy. They were hungry and confused, and many had flown away to work and go home as usual. Very soon afterward, a cluster of happy buzzing bees, headed by the old relation and the traveler, returned with pollen-laden thighs to their hive. As they were about to enter, they were stopped by one of the little sentinels at the doorway. Wait, she cried. A dead young bee, queen, a dead young queen is passing out. How is this? What has happened? Asked the traveler bee. Surely our queen is not dead. Oh, no, answered the sentinel, but something went wrong in the hive this morning. Some of the cell keepers were absent, and the young bee, queen bee, burst through. The two queens fought till one was dead and the weaker one was killed. We shall not be able to send off a swarm quite so soon as usual this year, but these accidents can't be helped. But this one might have been helped, thought the traveler bee to herself. You see, buzzed the old relation, nudging her, even queens are not equal. There can be but one ruler at once. Yes, murmured the traveler bee. Huh, what do you think? Yes, I just had to think. All of our actions affect other people, don't they? See, when those people got discontented and went off to do their own thing and took their own little swarm, then the sentinels were missing. A young queen broke in and tried to destroy the hive. Every one of us is needed to do our part. And if we just think that we can just relax and go off and not worry about our job and leave it undone, it's going to bring consequences to yourself and others. So, anyway, a lot of good lessons there for us. Each of us just, some are young and some are old, some are wiser than others, some are foolish. So, some are strong, some are weak. So, we just need to fill our place wherever we find ourselves, right? And learn. And, okay. Well, let's say our memory work now. So, go ahead. Sylvester, you want to start? And what was it about? Don't know. You don't know?
Someone that got approved and why.
Okay.
Zacchaeus.
What about Zacchaeus?
Zacchaeus told Jesus that he would give away half of his things to the poor, and the people that he
So what did Jesus say to him? This day is salvation come. Okay, you may be seated. Okay.
Go ahead. In Luke 18, there was a publican and a Pharisee, and they both went up into the temple to pray, and the Pharisee prayed. Thank God that he wasn't like other people, and that he wasn't like the publican here. And then the publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the God approved him because he was just humble.
Matthew 25 verses 36 through 38. In the end, Jesus will approve the righteous because people were hungry and they gave him food, thirsty and they gave him drink. They were a stranger and they took him in. They were naked and they clothed them, sick and they visited them. They were in prison and they came to them.
Good. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according to as he proposes, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves the cheerful giver.
David took good care of the sheep, and so God made him be king.
Abraham loved God better than his son, and when God told him to sacrifice his son, he went out to sacrifice his son. So God said that his children would be like the sand of the sea. In First Kingdoms, Samuel, when he was little, he helped Eli, and then God approved him.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. That's a blessing. Okay. For next Sunday, Celeste, pay attention. For next Sunday, I'd like you to tell us about a young person in the Bible, okay? Just tell us what they did, whether it was good or whether it was bad. Just tell us about that young person, okay? What they did. Okay, you may go. And the older boys.
Something, so Simon, was something wise that we've learned or learned to do. I've had to think about maybe listening to my elders, people that are older than my parents, people that are my mentors that I look up to, listening to what they have to say, and just applying myself to what they say because they've lived a lot longer than I have and they know what they're talking about. And even though I think maybe something silly or dumb that they tell me to do it, I should still do it just because they told me to do it. And I can't remember what it's at, but I read a verse, I think it's in Proverbs, it says a wise son maketh a glad father, and I didn't look it up, but that's what it says.
We've learned that it doesn't do any good to worry about things that haven't even happened yet, so just take care of what's happening right now.
Just kind of had the same thing as Colby. Just thought that, just listen to parents or people that are in authority. Sometimes, the other side of me wants to think, I'm 18 years old and I can make my own decisions, or, maybe it shouldn't be done this way, or it's what I think, maybe it'd be better to do it another way. I should just do it however they want it done, whether I think it's the best way or not.
I've come to understand that I'm not the most important person, just to be a servant and help people.
I was just thinking about whenever everything seems to be going wrong inside a job or something, it doesn't hurt to get frustrated or mad.
I've learned that out of every bad thing that happens, something good comes out of it. Like the song says, behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face.
I learned that if something goes wrong or if somebody does something you don't want them to do, just forgive them. Yeah.
I've learned that I don't have to comment on everything I hear somebody else say.
I learned that I don't have to pitch in my sense and things every time I think I have something good to say.
Well, I wouldn't be up here saying anything, but Mike told me that my assignment is to give a full answer this Sunday, so here it is. I'm pretty good at analyzing things, I think, but I really have very little wisdom. And I think that's a good example of what wisdom truly is. That it's not about just understanding everything and analyzing it. But the thing is I'm contemplating still whether I really want to go that way. So there's my full answer.
Okay, for the older boys next Sunday, tell us what kind of a man you'd like to grow up to be, or some goals for your life or something, and give us a verse to go along with that.